The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions?" Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Here's a special day for you today. Not a feast day, but rather a commemoration. This is a day of prayer for the legal protection of the unborn. And here's what I would ask of you today. Offer some sacrifice. Something that the world will never know of or take note of. For this intention. The legal protection of the unborn. Now, most of us, we've been at this for a long, long time. We've been praying for an end to abortion and for decades. And we keep on going. We're in this for the long haul. But would you believe that this is related to our subject in our first reading today from the letter to the Hebrews? I always love decoding these first readings, especially when they seem difficult to understand. But to persevere through something in which you don't necessarily see you're making any progress without losing heart, that's what the first reading was all about. Because everybody knows what it's like to plug on and, you know, you feel sometimes like quitting. And it can be very, very easy to want to quit. One of the most important messages this reading gives us is when you feel like throwing in the towel, remember, that means you've taken your eyes off of the Lord. The object of our hope is God Himself and not our own achievements. Now, hope is a word that's greatly misunderstood. You know, we banter about the word hope, and we use it almost like a vague wish. You know, like, I hope it warms up, right? I hope it doesn't snow. Maybe you hope it does snow. I hope it does not snow. Okay. I hope my favorite team wins the big game, whatever it might be. And what we really mean by that is, I wish it won't snow. I wish it, a vague wish. Hope is something much, much deeper than that. Hope is an infused theological virtue by which you confidently expect that God will provide everything you need to get your soul to heaven and every grace along the way. Confidently expect it. You know what that means, practically speaking? That means that you're not just living through providence, that you're living through a perfect providence. And we have to fight against temptations, against hope. A couple practical temptations against hope. One of them is despair. Now, despair is not always so dramatic, like, you know, somebody doesn't want to live anymore, or they're in the deepest depression. Granted, you know, that can be despair. But day by day, you know what despair really looks like? It's what happens when you are faced with a task which you must accomplish. Maybe it's forgiveness of an enemy. Maybe it's the acquiring of a virtue. Maybe it's fighting against a sin that dogs you. Faced with a task that you must accomplish, and sensing the difficulty of what you must do, you don't even bother to try. That's what despair is. Because you want to know why? We look at God's promise, and we stop trusting in it. We fail to recognize that He's going to be with us. And related to this is presumption, another sin against hope. Now, presumption, these days, people think, you know how people think everybody's going to heaven? It's almost like the 11th commandment. Everybody's going to heaven and nobody's in hell except for maybe Hitler, right? And that's presumption. But there's another kind of presumption. And that is the idea that God's going to provide so much for you that you don't even need to put forth any effort at all. Like, I think about the promise made to the Israelites as they're crossing through the desert. They're going to go to a land of milk and honey. Well, they got to the land of milk and honey, but they still had to milk the cows, didn't they? They still had to tend the bees. So God is going to ask this of you, and one of the most important things to understand in the virtue of hope is it's going to happen in God's own time. And that is going to require of every last one of us a very, very generous serving of patience. So the first reading made reference to Abraham, who inherited the promise. Do you remember what the promise was that Abraham inherited? Only thing Abraham wanted was a son. And God did him one better. He said, you're going to be the father of so many nations, it's going to be more than the stars in the sky. And this I promise you. That was his promise. Do you remember how long Abraham had to wait before God made his promise and before the promise was fulfilled? 25 years. 25 years after God made his promise, and finally Isaac was born. But if you trust in the Lord, understand, trust in the Lord means trust in his timing. I don't know why he makes us wait, but he seems to like it. Okay, so lots and lots of patience. But for us, our hope is much greater than Abraham. Our hope is rooted in the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Never lose sight of that. That is your anchor. I heard a quotation recently from a Greek Orthodox monk. And he said, when I look around the world, what I see would drive me insane were I not certain that, no matter what happens, God will have the last word. That's the source of your hope. No matter what happens, God will have the last word, and he will never forsake those who are his own. Amen.